listening to WDBM East Lansing. This is MSU Student Radio.
And you are listening to 89.1 FM WIDR Kalamazoo.
You are listening to Grand Valley State University's only student-run radio station.
Reggae Revolvers, brought to you by Michigan's number one college radio station, 88.3 WXOU.
College radio is dying. At least that's according to a headline I saw recently. With music libraries packed into smartphones and laptops and websites like Spotify and Pandora, college students aren't listening to music in their dorms from a portable radio anymore. So what's the point of college radio? Should we save it? My next guest is Jesse Walker. He's a former DJ at WCBN, Ann Arbor student-run community radio. He's also author of Rebels on the Air, an alternative history of radio in America. Welcome to Stateside, Jesse.
I'm glad to be here.
So full disclosure, I am a product of college radio, and it wasn't more than 2 years ago or so that I was hanging out in the basement of Holden Hall at Michigan State University at their student radio station there. And I remember walking the halls, and almost when I would see my friends in the hallways that had happened to be in the same building, they would say, "What are you doing here?" And I said, "Well, I'm working at the student radio station." They said, "What? We have a student radio station here?" They had no idea. And from our anecdotes, it seemed like the students wouldn't know we had a student radio until they were maybe upperclassmen and started driving. Not until they actually started driving around town, they would realize that MSU had a student radio. So my question to you is, what's the point of college radio if so many students aren't even listening?
Well, you know, I should say that when I was a student at the University of Michigan, and that was more like a quarter century ago than 2 years ago, there were lots of students who didn't know about the station then either. I mean, it was a presence on campus, maybe more of a presence than your station was. I don't know, but if you weren't really interested in music or in one of the subjects of the public affairs and programs, and if you didn't come across one of the events on campus, you might not know about it. It was a big campus, so that's not something that came along with the internet. That's always been just a part of the facts of broadcasting way over on the left end of the dial. People aren't necessarily going to come across it, but it was still very valuable. It was very valuable for a lot of reasons. Number one, we were putting together great broadcasts a lot of the time. I got to say, within the sort of risk-taking amateurish ethos, we managed to do a lot of really good broadcasting that did have a following both on campus and off. But beyond that, it really is part of the educational experience of students who are a part of it. And I mean that not just in terms of the disc jockeys who learned all about different kinds of music and history and global culture that's all wrapped up in the music, but the listeners who were able to catch a lot of those lessons just by listening in. Often, it would be a student DJ flying by the seat of his pants, putting on a record he hadn't heard before and discovering something wonderful and then reading the liner notes. But other times it would be someone really knowledgeable who was sharing that knowledge with the community. And I think that what college radio needs to do is to make that known to people, that that experience is available, that education is available, that just sort of the weird joy of listening to someone experimenting and taking risks that you can't do on a commercial radio station or even on a lot of public radio stations, that there's a place for that. And that's as true now as it was 25 years ago.
A part of college radio or community radio is this underground music experience. And when I read an article that stated that college radio is dying, they mentioned that one important thing with college radio is that it's giving these underground artists a venue, whereas college radio is the first to kind of expose these underground artists, which then, more mainstream, music outlets will then pick up.
I mean, that was one of the sort of the currents of college radio, especially in the 1980s, was this feeling that it was kind of a farm team for a lot of bands. And it did serve that role, although the better stations made sure that they didn't just serve that role, that they also explored not just your classic, sort of college rock tech fans, but they would get into, jazz and world music and other areas where, they're not necessarily ever going to make it big. That role of college radio was blunted a bit when alternative rock became a big deal in the 1990s, and a lot of these bands, suddenly had like the sort of mainstream success. But it's always been part of what college radio does. And this is especially true with local music. And this is one way that, you know, the Internet is not just, you know, and isn't always a good substitute for radio, is having something that's based in a particular community that can showcase, you know, the musicians that live in that town or near it and are doing interesting things. And maybe they'll make it big someday and they're just starting out. Maybe they're too experimental or too retro or otherwise outside, off the beaten path to make it really big, but they're still worth listening to.
And I also understand that college radio is threatened right now for financial reasons, because there's some stations elsewhere in the United States. I don't believe it's been happening in Michigan, but college radio is being sold off for public radio stations. I think most recently that happened at Georgia State University. Can you talk more about why that's happening and the impacts of that shift?
Yeah, I mean, in Georgia State, I think they have sort of a half-and-half arrangement where the students still have the radio station at night, and in the daytime they're only broadcasting online, and it's a more conventional public radio station in the daytime. And, you know, stations have been sort of fully pushed off the FM dial at, you know, Vanderbilt, Rice, University of San Francisco, and other places. And what's basically happening is the universities are discovering that they've got these potentially valuable licenses that they could turn into a profit center. And the students, you know, even if they're doing well enough to support themselves in terms of getting enough donations to pay their bills, you know, which often is the case, they don't necessarily have enough money to raise to buy a valuable broadcast license from the university, so they're not able to make a counteroffer. I should say the counterexample to this, which is a really interesting case, is WFMU in New Jersey, which used to be a college radio station. The college itself went under, but the people who ran the student station managed to raise enough money to take it over, and it's still going strong. But what's unfortunately what's happening in a lot of places is that, you know, they're being sort of taken over by these sort of public radio empires that are doing, you know, I mean, often it's, you know, good radio, but it's radio that you can hear someplace else on the dial, which is not often the case with these college stations that are getting displaced.
So what do you think college radio needs to do in order to stay alive and vibrant and relevant in this day and age?
Well, I mean, obviously, the situation is going to vary from one town to another, from one campus to another. So I can only speak sort of broadly. But make sure people know you're there. Make sure students know you're there. When I went into Michigan as an undergraduate in 1988, being a DJ seemed like something cool to do because you grew up listening to the radio. Nowadays, kids don't necessarily have that idea that they're going to go seek out a radio station. So you've got to go out and make the pitch to them. Make yourself known in the community. CBN does this, sponsoring concerts and, you know, film showings and so on. So they do a good job of letting people who aren't on campus or aren't students on campus, maybe they're involved in some other way, know about the things they do. But other college stations, you know, it might be just those people in the basement and they're not getting across, you know, what they're doing that's so important. Have partnerships with, you know, other people in the community, other institutions in the community that are involved in music or the other sorts of material that you broadcast. And if it's possible to get your hands on the license yourself, you know, go for it, because you don't want to be have everything sold out from under you after, because this can happen even to a station that's really put down roots. So that's a long shot for people just because of the financial and legal requirements. But if there's any way to do it, that would be great.
And what did college radio mean for you when you were at WCBM in Ann Arbor?
Well, you know, people ask me what I studied in college, and it says history on my diploma, but I tell people, in fact, I majored in the campus radio station and I minored in the campus newspaper. And I have to say, if you look at what I've, you know, done with my life since then as a journalist and a historian, and who, among other things, often writes about music, it's really come from those two things I did, you know, the radio station and the newspaper, in some ways more than what I did in the classroom. And I think it's great that on the one hand, the Internet has opened up so many opportunities for young people and all people to do much of this stuff without the assistance of a radio station, but to do it as part of a community that with a particular place and a particular group of people who see each other in real life is something special that the Internet isn't always able to replicate.
And finally, Jesse Walker, do you think college radio is dying?
I don't think it's dying. I think that it's going through a rough patch right now, and I don't know what college radio will look like 20 years from now. I don't know what radio in general is going to look like 20 years from now, because the industry in general is being battered, and who knows, you know, what the AM and FM dials are going to be used for once everybody's able to listen to internet radio in their cars. But I think that the people being able to do interesting, informative, and creative broadcasting on campuses and elsewhere is not going to go away.
So in radio lingo, as always, we will stay tuned.
That's right.
Jesse Walker is a former DJ at WCBN, Ann Arbor student-run community radio, and author of Rebels on the Air, an alternative history of radio in America. Jesse Walker, thanks so much for joining us on Stateside.
Well, thank you.